Praise the name of the Lord. So this is us now. Amen. Where are your brothers and your sisters? They are in Israel. Okay. So maybe the next time we just move the entire church to Israel, then we can have a party and service there. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We thank God for his mercy, for his love and faithfulness. The Lord our God has been faithful. He has done wonderful things. He has shielded us from the evil winds that is blowing at this time. And so we have every reason to rejoice. We have every reason to be grateful. He has given us great promises. And so we have great expectations because the Lord our God who has promised is a faithful God. Our God is faithful. I just want us to rise up to our feet tonight. I want us to pray for this. Let's pray for this nation, this great nation that we live in. I'm sure many of you have seen, the email that is doing the rounds about how they're trying to change the curriculum, in the schools. I don't know whether it's primary or secondary. It doesn't really matter. But the reality is, the power that be are trying to inform us so that they can conform us to what the society wants. I remember Pastor Bola preached a message a long time ago where he talked about the system trying to inform us, to conform us. He said, but God is trying to transform us. But the one thing I want us to do tonight, and I want us to do this in faith, because you see, whether a nation will prosper or sink, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It depends on the leaders of that nation. So when they make righteous laws, we will all live in peace. When they make unrighteous laws, the wrath of God comes on the nation. And so what I want us to pray tonight, I just want us to lift up this nation unto God. Because you see, Elijah gathered the entire prophets of Baal, and he said, according to my word, not even according to the word of the Lord. He says, he was speaking to Ahab. He said, according to my word, there will be no rain in this land. So I believe we have it within our power as the spiritual representative, the spiritual authority in this land to decree some things. And I really want us to decree some things tonight. And let's just decree that every gathering where they are gathered to debate laws that will put the security, the safety, and the sanity and the holiness of the church in disrepute. Let's pray tonight that it will not stand. Their counsel will not stand. Just like the counsel of Ahithophel didn't stand. Yes, because the impact is huge, but the church has a responsibility. And I want us to pray tonight that whatever unrighteousness that we want to be perpetuated by the people in power, it will not stand according to the word that the Lord has spoken, that only righteousness exalts a nation. That only righteous law shall be propagated in this law or promulgated in this law in this land in the name of Jesus. So tonight, let's lift up this nation to God and let us pray that the spirit of righteousness will rest upon this land. That the spirit of righteousness will rest upon this land. Let's begin to condemn the spirit of evil. We know because all these things happen, but we don't know the genesis. But we know that there is a spirit at war because there is nothing that happened in the physical realm that has not already happened in the spirit. But we stand here tonight as the spiritual representative of the Lord God Almighty, and we decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus that only the will of the Lord will be done in this land. In the mighty name of Jesus, only the will of the Lord will be done in this land. In the mighty name of Jesus, we stand against every unrighteous law in this land. In the mighty name of Jesus, we stand against every unrighteousness in this land. In the mighty name of Jesus, every unrighteousness against our children, against this generation, against the generations to come, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, tonight we stand, O Lord. The Lord says that I look for a people who will stand in the gap on behalf of the nation, and he could find none. But here we are tonight. The Lord has found us. Let us stand in the gap for this nation, for the sake of the remnant of believers in this land, that the Lord God Almighty, we only allow to come to pass those laws that we that will further the cause of the gospel, that will further the cause of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Father, because you honor our word at all times. Father, tonight we hear our prayer. And according as we have decreed tonight, O Lord God Almighty, no law of unrighteousness will be established in this land in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. As we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Again, the Lord God Almighty has spoken upon our lives using his prophet this year. He said that he will create some positive changes in our life this year. He said that he will lift us up. He said that he will judge every opposition against us. He said that he will preserve us. I just want us to lift up our hands to God. And I say, Lord, your word that you have spoken over me will not fall to the ground without being accomplished. I will see a manifestation of your word in my life this year. I will see a manifestation of your word in my career this year. I will see your manifestation in the life of my children this year. I will see the manifestation of your word in my business this year. I will see the manifestation of your word in my marriage this year. I will see the manifestation of your word in my health this year. I will see the manifestation of your word in my spiritual development and growth this year. I will see the manifestation of your word, Father, in every areas of my life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we believe your word tonight, and we ask, oh Lord, that indeed, Father, we will see the manifestation, we will see a performance, oh God, of your word in our lives, in every single areas of our lives, Father, we will see a performance of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, you will do wonders. That which you have spoken, O Lord, you will bring to pass in the name of Jesus. That which you have spoken, O Lord, you will establish in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And please be seated. Amen. It's been a great week here, and I'm sure it's the same thing with those people that are away, but I thank God that you are here tonight. Amen. I spoke with Minister Ayo during the week. I said, how many of us are left? Because I thought he was there as well. And he said, oh, Pastor Angela is here. Pastor Angela, okay, so we're not alone. Amen. Because I was afraid. I thought I would get here tonight and I would be the only one. At least at least I will have my wife and my daughter. But I wasn't sure who else was going to be here. But I thank God that you are here. Amen. So you go in 2020. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Okie dokie. We've been given the word of the month. And the servant of the Lord has declared that this month will be unto us the month of spiritual rewards. Why? Because God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The God our Father is a rewarder of people who put their trust and their hope in him. And so tonight, I just want us to look at a few things in the scripture and around the scripture that has been given to us as the anchor scripture for the month, which is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Do we have the Bibles on screen? Or I should just read mine? Okay, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is, but he doesn't just exist. God is also a rewarder. Amen? I'm going to be talking to us tonight about a message I've tied to the Embracing Spiritual Reward. And as I'm sure many of you know, I teach. I'm not much of a great preacher. There's a difference between the two. So we're just going to be studying the book of Hebrews chapter 11 today to look at a few things. And then, you know, I want to focus my teaching tonight around three areas. The attributes of a man that will get reward. The attitude of a man that will get spiritual reward. and then the actions of a man that will get spiritual rewards. Because God is very clear about his word here. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the first condition is we have to please God. We have to please God. So that's very foundational, that's very fundamental to us receiving spiritual reward. Then the second is that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The first thing I want to talk about is the attributes of a man who will receive spiritual reward. Because the reward we're talking about is not the reward of silver and gold, but it can manifest in silver and gold. You don't know how the reward of the Lord is going to manifest in your life. The way it will manifest in your life may be different from the way it will manifest in my life. It may manifest in your business. It may manifest in the life of my children. The reward of the Lord manifests in different ways according to individual needs. And not needs as you see it, because your need may be that I want to buy the next big house, I want to buy the next big car, but that may not be what the Lord thinks is best for you. In whichever way, the Lord will reward you. But there are certain attributes that a man that God will reward must have. And I will describe attributes. What's an attribute? You know, I work, in my career or profession, we describe attributes as the characteristics of an object. That is, those things that defines an object. For example, if I want to describe a minister here, I will start with his abs, then I will go to his chest, the shoulder, the power pack, the muscles, and you know, those are attributes of Minister Ayo. Then you go and look at Mr. Nook, and then you look at Nook, and you see that there are bigger biceps there, there are broader shoulders. You know, those are the attributes. You describe them. So when they are talking about you as a spiritual man, there is an attribute that must be used to describe you as a spiritual man. Amen. So those attributes are very fundamental, they are very foundational, because they form the essence of who you are as a person. Those are the attributes. And the first of this, in fact, there is only one, because everything wraps into this one, and this major attribute is faith. Faith. A man that will be called a spiritual man must be a man of faith. Why is this? Because having faith is actually the foundation of who we are as believers. If you do not have faith, there is no way you can tell me that you have salvation. It doesn't work like that. Because our salvation is by faith. You were not there when Jesus Christ was being whipped and slashed through. You were not there when he was being nailed to the cross. You were not there when he was put into the grave. You were not there when he rose again. You were not there. There were just things you read. But reading it, is it enough? You can even go to Israel and see the place they will show you. They will show you the tomb. They will show you the Golgotha where he was nailed. They will show you everything. It still doesn't mean you will believe. Why? Because maybe like Thomas, you haven't felt anything, you haven't touched something. You cannot hold something substantial. So the fact that somebody comes to church, the fact that somebody serves in church does not really mean that that person believes. It doesn't mean that that person believes. And you know, the thing about belief is that it is very fundamental. And I will read this to you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews 4, 2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. He said, but the word which they heard, it's not that the word that they preached, they heard the word. The word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who did what? Who heard them. Not to those who it was preached to. Because this is different. You can be preached to and you will not hear. You know that you hear, but you are not really hearing. Yeah, that can happen. But this one, you actually heard. But then you heard, but it's not mixed with faith. That is, it is mixed with unbelief. And I don't want us to confuse church attendance with this very fundamental and core attribute. Because I love seeing you every Sunday. I love seeing you on Fridays. That could be my motivation for coming to church. I just love the company of the believer. But that doesn't make me a believer. So the question I want you to ask yourself tonight, and this is so searching, do you really believe the words that you hear? Do you when prophecies come, do you really believe that they are able to come to pass in your life? Because it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it is the prophecy of you are going to, you know, your career is going to take another, you know, a leap forward this year, or your children are going to be great. If you do not believe, it doesn't happen. That was why Jesus Christ said to that woman that came to her and came to him and said, you know, my daughter is sick. He asked the woman, do you believe that I can make your daughter whole? And then the woman said to him, I believe, Lord. But if you find any shadow of unbelief in me, then help my unbelief. So belief is very fundamental. When you are describing a believer, you describe him as a person of faith. That is what makes that person a spiritual man. Because this month been promised as the month of spiritual reward. What it means in effect is that God is going to reward your spirituality. God is going to reward your commitment to his word. God is going to reward your commitment to prayer. God is going to reward your commitment to praising him. God is going to reward the good deeds that you do among the brethren. God is going to reward all those things. But it is very fundamental that we believe. You have to believe in his words. You have to believe in his works. Because, you know, that's one of the problems in the day of Jesus Christ. Especially those people that were from his village. They never believed him. Because, you know, they say a prophet is without honor, except in his own household. They never believed him. Jesus Christ could not do a single miracle in his hometown because they did not believe. And one day he passed by and he wept. And he said to them, if only today you know what has been made for your peace. He said, but what? It has been hidden from you. May it not be hidden from us, the promises that we have in God. May it not be hidden from us, the glory that we have in God. May it not be hidden from us, the acceptance that we have in him. Because many of us don't even believe. We think we've done too many wrongs that we cannot even be accepted. But God is a God of love. He loves you. He created you for his glory. He said he created man in his image after his likeness. He wants you to rule. He wants you to dominate. That was the commandment in Genesis chapter 1, 26. He said you should rule and dominate over everything that he created. So God loves you. But you first have to believe. One, you have to believe that you have been saved. And belief means that you are convinced beyond conviction that you are of the Lord. It is only you who know. Because if you don't have those fundamental things, then you cannot receive anything from the Lord. He says, let that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Who is the man? A man that has doubt, a man that is unstable, a man that lacks faith cannot receive anything from the Lord. Because everything that we receive in the Lord, we receive by faith. Everything that we have in Christ, we receive by faith. He says, ask the Father in my name whatsoever, and he will give to you. Why are you not asking? Is it because you do not believe that the Father will give to you? Or is it because you have never seen the Father? But Jesus Christ says, blessed is the man who has believed, even though they have not seen me. Amen? In John 10:25, John 10:25, Jesus Christ was speaking, you know, to the Pharisees. He says, and I told you, you do not believe. I've been telling you, but you do not believe. He says, but even if you don't believe the words that I speak, what about the works that I do? For these works, they testify of me. They are a witness that indeed I am from the Father. Okay, I may be from your village. I may be this little man. I may be this person that is not very eloquent, but at least believe the work that I do. And that's why the Bible says that in the day of his power, the people shall be willing. But even at that time, they were not willing. And up to today, they are still not willing. You'll be surprised that these people amongst whom Jesus Christ was born, was nailed to the cross, and he resurrected, and they had it documented, and they know that he resurrected. But up to today, they are still waiting for the Messiah. It's a tragedy, but it's the reality. And so you and I cannot afford to fall into the same trap. Let us strengthen our faith. If it is weak, like that woman asked, let us ask the Lord to help our unbelief. Amen? So that's very fundamental. That's talking about the attributes of a man who we experience spiritual reward, or a man who will receive spiritual reward. I want to talk about the attitude of a man who will receive spiritual reward. Attitude is very, very important. Attitude is very, very important. I remember in 2003, 2004, I left a job and then, you know, just trying to change job basically. So I was given this card by my colleagues. And you know, when they give you this card, they write all manner of things on it. And my cousin then, who was doing her master's here, you know, came to our house and she saw the card and she was just going through. And there were a lot of comments there, but there's only one that she spoke about, and it's that we'll miss your great attitude. And she just picked that and she was just saying, oh, this is very nice. And I say, this is very nice, uncle. I said, what's that? I say, I will miss your great attitude. What does that tell you? It means that of everything, and there were so many things written there, but that was the only one that she spoke about. And that day, I knew that great attitude is very important. But that's me, just me, a man, a mere man. What about God? And that is why we have a Mr. Attitude in the house. Amen. You see, we are a blessed church. We have it all. In this one man with packed Moses. Amen. Attitude is very, very important. You see, when we read, let's read Hebrews chapter 11. I'll read from verse 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Through it, he being dead, still speaks. In verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What did he do? We don't know. Why? Because the Bible didn't really give a detailed account of how Enoch lived, that it could be put on his account that he lived a life that pleased God. But he must have really had a great attitude about his walking with God. Because one thing we know from that scripture is that he walked with God. But for how many years? A very, very long year, I believe. Because he walked for so long that the man didn't even die, he was taken away. So it tells you the journey was long. But all through the journey, the Bible tells us that he pleased God. I'm sure during that journey, Enoch must have had some challenges. He must have had some difficult moments. He must have had some uncertain situations that even he could not understand. But through all those situations, the Bible still says of him that he pleased the Lord. He pleased the Lord. What do we need to please the Lord? The first and the most important thing is to walk in obedience. Obedience is very important to the Lord. And obedience is an attitude. Do you know why? Because there are some people, it doesn't matter what you say, they will never believe you. They will never obey. They will never do, and they will not even allow those who want to do. Amen? That's what the Bible says. That's not my word, by the way. Obedience is key. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says, it was talking about Saul. It says, obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of times, believers, we think we can bribe God with sacrifice. But there is no point making sacrifice if you are not walking in obedience. There is no point sleeping in church if you are not walking in obedience. There is no point serving in church if you are not walking in obedience. There is no point putting your money in the offering basket if you are not walking in obedience. Because that is fundamental. Because all those things, and they are good. Because if they are not good, the Bible will not say obedience is better than. It means sacrifice is good. Do you understand? It's just that obedience is better. At least we understand that grammar, right? But the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. So obedience is very, very is very important to God. Disobedience was the genesis of man's trouble. Disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Disobedience is the foundation of sin. Because what is sin? Sin is do it this way, this is the right way. If you do not do it, you are breaking my law, and then you do it exactly the way it shouldn't be done. That is what sin is. So let's not, because a lot of time when we talk about sin, then we begin to think about the very big thing. The sin of murder, the sin of this. I remember a long time ago I was talking to a colleague and, you know, just basically trying to bring him to faith. At that time, it wasn't as hard as it is today, because, you know, today you really have to be careful how you witness and who you speak to, about, you know, and the way you come across. So at that time, I was speaking to him and I said, you know what? I like the peace. You know, at least I do see that, you know, you are a very peaceable person. He said, but the reality is that I've done too many things that I don't even think that God can forgive me. And I said to him, I said, you haven't done anything. So I now took him to the story of when Jesus Christ was on the cross. And he had two people, you know, that were one to his left and the other one to his right. They were both murderers. They were condemned to die. I said, but you see, because everything that is written in the Bible is written for our examples. These were murderers that you and I would not touch with a long pole. But Jesus Christ said to him, why? Because he came to the realization of, oh, this man is full of grace and mercy. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Have you really ever asked, why did that happen? Why did that happen? It is to prove to, have you really even ever asked, why did Job have to go through what he went through? Everything that is written and recorded in the Bible, they were written for our examples so that we can learn from them. So that you can understand that even on the sick bed, a man that gives his life while breathing his last breath, make it to heaven. That is very, very fundamental. It's very important we have this on that, because we just read these stories and many of us don't want to go through what Job, you know, went through. It was tough, but the reality is that it was written for our exam so that we may understand that it doesn't matter how long and dark the tunnel is, there's always light at the end of it. And I don't care what you are going through today. I don't care how tough it is, but you are coming out stronger. You are coming out better. You are coming out bigger. You are coming out enlarged. You are coming out increased. You are coming out lifted. You are coming out promoted. Why? Because the Lord your God has spoken to you that in this year will be a year of your lifting. And he will lift you up. Amen? God is faithful. But attitude is very, very important. Talking about attitude, the first attitude I said is obedience. The second one is the attitude of praise. Praise. You see, it is very easy to praise God when things are going well. It's very easy. Happy days, happy clappy. Why? Because things are going well. The bank account is growing. The houses are getting bigger. They are getting more. You know, health is good. It's very easy to praise God. But was it very easy for Job to praise God when he was going through that thing? It wasn't easy. Not due to the pressure from his wife and his friends. It even made it tougher. But despite all that, Job showed a great attitude. In spite of everything he went through, he showed a great attitude. Why? Because he recognized that everything that he had was given to him by God. And that if God gave him all that he was more than able to give him more. So a man that is unable to praise, a man that is unable to express gratitude, is a man that is proud. You see, a lot of times, pride is described as somebody who is, you know, haughty looking, always, you know, boisterous or whatever. But there are some very silent, subtle pride that we demonstrate on a daily basis. A man that cannot say thank you is a man who has some grain of pride in him. It's just as little things like that, saying thank you, is a sign of pride. It is a sign of pride. If you cannot say thank you, it is a sign of pride. It is a bad attitude. And that is why Jesus Christ showed us about the 10 lepers, that one came back and said thank you, and that one got more than the others. But would you just be saying thank you because you are grateful for what God has done, or are you thanking him because you want him to do more? Do you understand the difference? They're different. Some people have some people from my home country. When I begin to get messages and they begin to thank me for some things that happened a month ago, I knew that another request is coming. And when the thank you message comes in like that, it could be like over a period of maybe about 3 or 4 times in a week. The following week, I will receive the request. It must happen. But many of us are like that. Amen. So it's just a preparation that, you know, my request is on the way. That is their own way. But should we be that way? Should we be thanking God because of what we expect to get from him? Or should we just be really, really grateful for what he has done? Our gratitude should be from a heart of appreciation for that which has been done. Even if it would do nothing else, Lord, I am grateful for this one. It's an attitude. Mr. Attitude, am I wrong? It is an attitude. Gratitude is an attitude. Praise is an attitude. Being able to get down on your knees and pray is an attitude of submission. Because a man that is unable to get down on his knees and pray is a man that trusts and believes in his own strength. It's a man that trusts and believes in his own wisdom. It's a man that believes and trusts in his own ability. So Lord, I can sort this out. I don't need you. That's what it means. You didn't say it, but your attitude speaks it. Amen. Prayer is a sign of submission. When you come to God in prayer, you are saying, Lord, I can't trust my strength. I can't trust my wisdom. I can't raise this child by my own understanding. I can't make this business successful by my own skill. You are saying, Lord, help me. Because prayer is asking for help. It's saying, Lord, I cannot do this in my own wisdom. I cannot do it in my own strength. And the Bible tells us that by strength shall no man prevail. It is not by power, it is not by might, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Why? Because, you see, you may have all the power and all the might and all the wisdom, but what about the unforeseen? How are you going to deal with them? Do you really know what will happen in the next hour. You don't know. You cannot take care of those things. But the Lord can make your path to shine like a brightening, like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter onto a perfect day. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 105, he said, "Your word, O Lord, has become a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." What does the light on your path, what does it do? It guides you in the way you should go. So the word of God is there to guide you. But are you ready to submit to the guidance of the Lord? Or would you rather do things by your own wisdom, by your knowledge? You know, we live in a generation of people that are very knowledgeable. It's amazing how knowledgeable this. I was speaking with a friend over the weekend, and you know, last weekend, and he was telling me about he took his son somewhere, and then somebody was interviewing the son, and the way the son was engaging this man, this dad stood and reassessed himself and said, "You know what? I have to be careful how I engage with this young boy henceforth." Because of fatherly respect and honor, that boy has not really been able to express himself. But when this boy was put on a platform where he could showcase himself, his father was surprised. And from that day, what do you think the boy did? He earned the father's respect. Because the father was telling me that I got home and I told my wife that we cannot deal with this boy as a boy anymore. Why? Because he demonstrated something. Amen? Yes. We live in an age of knowledge. Our children are very enlightened. They have information at their fingertips. Even if they don't know, Google knows. And they are so swift with their fingers that they can plug information out of Google in a flash. So there is knowledge. But the challenge and the problem with knowledge is that a lot of times it makes you to begin to analyze and overanalyze the word of God to the point of unbelief. Why are you not believing it? Because it doesn't make sense. But the word of God is not supposed to make sense. You act in faith because it is the word of God. And that's why the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Because it is foolish to you. But to God, it is the wisdom of God. That's the preaching of the gospel is to them who are perishing foolishness. But to us who believes, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. Because through Christ, God has given us all things that pertain to life and that pertains to godliness. So we have a promise of life that now is and that which is to come, all in Christ. It is the power of God to us who believe. So it's very important that we maintain a great attitude in prayer, in submission. Amen. Thanksgiving, I've already mentioned. Let's learn to be thankful. The Bible says that in all things, let us give thanks. In the good times, in the fair weather time, in the not so good times, let's be thankful. Because the Lord God is the one who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And in his time, he will make that bad story a great story. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's faithful. And lastly, I want to talk about the actions of a man who will receive the reward, who will receive spiritual rewards. The actions. There are two sides to these actions. There's the act of faith. The act of faith basically is you taking a pronunciation has been made either directly from the word of God or God speaking to you directly. You see, when God speaks to you, what do you do? And let's see what Noah did. Let's go back to the Bible and let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and let's look at verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. At that time, it has never rained. Never. So Noah has not seen rain before. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household from flood. Noah hasn't seen rain. He was preparing to protect his household from flood. Where is the flood going to come from? For a man that has not seen rain before. But the Bible says that he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. He acted on the word of the Lord. He took a step of action. This year, you have received the word of prophecy. What action have you taken? What action have you taken in the area of career, of your career? What step, what action have you taken in the area of your business? What step, what action have you taken in the area of how you're going to raise your children? Whether it is spiritual action or physical action. When words are spoken and you do nothing about it, basically it's a sign of unbelief. Because if you really believe, like Noah, who has never seen rain, and the man of God has spoken over you that this year the Lord is going to lift you up, you don't just wait for the wind to lift you up. You do something. You identify the area of lifting that you want, and you take some step of faith. That is the action of faith. Amen? The action of faith is basically stepping out to do something. Why? Because you receive a word of prophecy. The word of prophecy could come directly to you from God through his word. You may be studying his word and the Lord just speaks to you concerning certain area, and then you get up and then you do. Or it could be words spoken to you through his prophet. It doesn't matter what it is. You remember the story of Jesus Christ? They were at Canaan at a wedding, and the wine was finished. And his disciples came to him and said, "Master, the wine is finished." And he said, "Go and get jars of what? Of wine? No, of water." It was stupid. It didn't make sense. But then what did the prophetess Mary, what did she say to them? She said, "Whatsoever he says to you, just do it. Just Nike it." Amen? Whatever he says to you, just do it. Many of us, we hear the word, but we do nothing. It's a sign of unbelief. I don't want to say it's a sign of, it's been lethargic, because sometimes you're just waiting for some miracle to happen. But God doesn't work that way. Amen? God reward. The Bible says that in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of God, nor stand in the way of sinner." He says, "He shall be like a tree that is planted by the river of water. And whatsoever he what? Does." So there is a doing required. Whatsoever he does. There is a doing required. You don't receive the word and see it and wait for something to happen. The wind's not going to bring in the money. The wind's not going to bring in whatever you are expecting. You step out and you do. That is the action of faith. So I pray today that the Lord God Almighty will indeed give us the grace to step out and begin to walk, even as we have received this word. Amen? The second thing is the act of kindness. The act of kindness. And this is very important because it touches the very heart of God. You know, people came to Jesus Christ and they said to him, "Master, which is the greatest commandment?" And he said to them, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." In fact, let's go to Luke chapter 10 from verse 25. I just want to read this. Just look at the story of the Good Samaritans. Luke 10:25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? what was your reading of it? That is, what is your understanding of what is written in the law? So he said, so he answered and said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. That's a very tiny little phrase there amongst that heavy, heavy ones. But that's very important. Because you see, everything about God is about people. And this story, if you read this story further down, this is the story that we talk of, the Good Samaritan. The priest was going to the temple. He saw a man lying by the road in an accident, attacked by armed robbers. He looked at the man, had pity on the man, and said, but I have to be in the temple, and left the man there. But a certain Samaritan, it's amazing whenever they talk about Samaritans in the Bible, they always say a certain Samaritan. A certain Samaritan was going by, and then he saw this man. What did he do? He stopped, picked the man up, bandaged him, tended and cared for him, took him into a rest house, which I believe is hospital today, and paid for his hospital bill, and then came back to visit the next day. This was Jesus. He was speaking to the Pharisees. He was speaking to the people that spent time in the temple. That, how can you tell me that you love me when you have not shown kindness to the man that you can see? The act of kindness is an act that touches the very heart of God. In this month, when we are expecting spiritual reward, we should make the act of kindness a priority. Let's not just walk by as somebody who is blind to the needs of the people around us. Your colleagues in your office, your neighbors around your household, you don't know whether they are ill or they are sick. Are you praying for them? Are you standing in the gap for them? Are you encouraging them when you meet them? The act of kindness, it doesn't always have to cost you money, but at least it can cost you your effort. It can cost you your smile. You don't know how long or how far your smile to somebody. You don't know what a difference it will make to their day. Whatsoever we do, let us always do the act of kindness. The Lord honors it. It is the first commandment. Because you read this scripture and it says, love the Lord your God with your strength, with your mind, with this. And at the end of it, he put it very slightly. He said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus Christ, during his teaching, he said, many people came to him, oh Lord, we were ushers in the church. He said, I do not know you. We were, whatever you do in church, we did this. We attended 3 services. We attended 4 services. We even came back in the evening. And he said, I don't know you. And then they asked him, why? He said, because whatsoever you do to these little ones, it doesn't matter how little it is, then you have done for me. Because when you see this man hungry, you did not give him food. When you see him thirsty, you did not give him water. When you see him dying, you did not even as much as cast a look at him, less talking about praying for him. Say, and then you tell me that you attend 3 services and you come for trumpet night. That is not enough. The act of kindness should be something that we do as believers. Amen? It is something that carries eternal reward. And the Lord will reward us. Because faithful is he who has promised. He has given his word to us this year. He will watch over it to bring it to pass. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. May the Lord give us understanding. May the Lord give us the grace to walk in love. Because you see, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. When we have the love of God in our hearts, we are able to do many things easily. We are able to walk in obedience. We are able to love our neighbors. We are able to walk in submission. We are able to maintain a good attitude, the attitude of praise and of thanksgiving. But the love of the Lord is the foundation of it all. Let's rise up to our feet tonight.